have those things in my generation when we were young. We invented them. And isn't that true? It was that generation that gave us everything called the greatest generation. And for those of you who are part of and remember President Reagan, you're part of that generation, I'm often aware, and to me, it just seems like we hear the phrase time flies. I mean, can you believe we're just a few days away from a new year? It just seems like yesterday we got up and 2021 had just started. And so here we are in a matter of days going into a new year. And it's almost like time speeding up to me. And whatever you're going to do with your life, you better get on and doing it. And if you're not doing something with your life, I guess you really don't care how time flies. But what I want to do today in this sermon is challenge you about how to have a better year in 2022. So I've got a question for you. How many of you, okay, would like 2022 to be better than 2021? Anybody? Okay, yeah, that's me. I would love for it to be a whole lot better, okay? 2021 was a tough year. I mean, we went through some tough times as a nation. There were new challenges. There were new crises. There were new changes. There was COVID we're still battling with. In fact, LaVon told me just a while ago that her daughter and son-in-law have got COVID. I mean, it's just like, don't you want to come to a point where we go, we're COVID-free? We're done. We're over this. We're past this. And it just seems to plague us. It seems to come after us. Everywhere we turn, everywhere we look, we're having to battle this. I still wear my mask. Some of you are still wearing your mask. And it seems that for 2021, it was a very tough year for everyone. And for some of you, maybe it was a time of personal failures. You didn't get done things you wanted to do. Well, the good news is you've got a new year to try. There's a new year on the horizon. And so what I love about New Year's is kind of God's way of saying, let's wipe clean the slate from this past year. I'm going to give you 365 new days to start over to do something great. And that's good news because I want 2022 to be better than 2021. Look at Proverbs 17:24. It says this, an intelligent person aims at wise actions, but a fool starts off in many directions. And for some of you in 2021, that's what you did. You tried to do too many things and you didn't get everything done that you wanted to get done, because you're headed off in so many directions. So what I want you to do is on your outline, circle that phrase, aims at wise directions. If you want 2022 to be better, you got to aim at some wise directions. Have some wise actions here. And that's what I'm going to do this morning. Just walk you through several, I call it the ABCDs of how to have a better new year in 2022. Okay? And if you're just going to walk through this year, guess what? It's going to walk through you. You're not going to be any different at the end of this new year than you were this year. So let me give you four keys to maximizing 2022. Here's the first one. A of that ABCD is assume responsibility for your own life. Now, that's not a new concept, but it's something we all need to do. Okay? We live in an age of political correctness where I'm not responsible for anything I do. It's everybody else's fault. My problems really are not by my own hand, it's by somebody else's fault. So we live in a culture where we are the victim and we blame everybody. We blame the government, we blame our companies, we blame family, we blame the school system, we blame the environment, we even blame God. I mean, we blame everybody because we're a victim. It was just like back in 1992, I don't know if you remember what happened, this elderly lady went and got a cup of McDonald's coffee. And she had it between her legs, and she was trying to put some milk and sugar in it, and she dumped the whole hot coffee in her lap. She sued McDonald's for that, and guess what? The jury said McDonald's was at fault, and she got $3 million out of it. We want to blame everybody for our own mistakes, okay? And you're never going to be a success in life if you don't assume responsibility for your own life. Paul writes this in Galatians 6:5, each person must be responsible for himself. So my choices, I'm responsible for. Your choices, you are responsible for. And you can't control everything that's going to happen over the next 365 days of this new year. Like I said on Christmas Eve, you don't know what's coming around the corner. I don't know what's coming around the corner. You can only control your actions. You can't control somebody else's. And I don't know what the biggest issues you're going to face in this new year. I don't know. But I do know this, if you don't accept personal responsibility for your own life, your own actions, and stop blaming everybody else, it will just be another same year. And you can say, hey, I'm going to take control of my own life. I'm going to assume responsibility for my own life. I'm not going to blame anybody. is on me. And if you do that, 2022 will be a better year. Now, well, here's what I've noticed for people who don't want to do that. There are basically three types of what I call kinds of people in their life. Here's the first one. There are accusers. They're always blaming everybody else for everything wrong in their life. Their favorite phrase is, it's all your fault. It's your fault. It's all your fault. A good example of this in Scripture is Adam. You remember God had created Adam and Eve, put them in this perfect environment, okay? They're doing great until they eat the forbidden fruit. And look at the conversation God has with Adam in Genesis 3. God says, who told you that you were naked, God asks. Did you eat the fruit that I told you not to eat? Now look at Adam's answer. The woman you put here gave me the fruit and I ate. God, we were doing just great, the two of us, till you created that woman. You should have known. The word itself should have told you something. It means, whoa, man. And when you did that surgery on me and started ribbing me with her, it's her fault and it's really your fault, because if you hadn't ribbed me, she wouldn't have been here and we'd still be just like this, God. So he blames God. He doesn't take responsibility for it. Adam says he's a victim. So he's an accuser. Here's a second type of people you'll find. There are accusers and there are excusers. They always have a reason why they didn't do this, why this didn't get done. They're always excusing things. And I've discovered that for people who are procrastinators, they will always have an excuse. Look at Proverbs 22:13. A lazy man is full of what? Excuses. So both the accuser and the excusers, people who blame others and people excuse themselves, they're both losers. And why? Anytime accountability is mentioned, they're always resistant to it because they have all their reasons as to why nobody should be held accountable for anything, okay? They think it's not being fair, and so they excuse themselves as to why you don't need to hold me accountable. I don't need to hold you accountable, okay? Let's don't go that route. So you've got accusers, you've got excusers. Here's the third type of person you got in your life. You'll see they're, I call them choosers. So you have accusers, excusers, and choosers. Choosers say, I'm going to assume personal responsibility for my own life. I'm not going to be dependent upon anybody else. I'm not going to blame anybody else. I'm not going to excuse anything. Now, I'm pretty good about accepting personal responsibility for my mistakes until it comes to my wife. She'll say, honey, there you go. And I have my excuses. And her favorite phrase is, I don't need an excuse, I want effort. For example, she had to correct me this morning. I've gotten really bad, she said, over the last few years of using incorrect grammar with the word like. She says, you sound like a little valley girl from California. It's just like this. It's just like that. And I say it all the time. You probably say it all the time. Don't sit around her, okay? Okay? I'm just kidding, all right? But my natural tendency was to erupt. And so this morning, she's sitting right back there. You can ask her. She said, honey, you said like several times incorrectly. And I said, okay, thank you. So I'm going to stop trying to excuse this. And I've asked her to help me work on this, okay? Before, I would just accuse, I would excuse. So now I'm trying to choose. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with it? Look at one of my best examples of a man who accepted full responsibility when he blew it is David. And when Nathan comes to David and confronts him about his sin with Bathsheba and the murder and the political cover-up, look what Daniel's response is in 2 Samuel 12:13. He says, I have sinned against the Lord. He didn't accuse anybody. He didn't excuse anybody. He says, I'm the one that blew it. And this is why he's called repeatedly in Scripture a man after God's own heart. He always accepted responsibility for his own failures. All right? Here's what the B stands for. If you want to have a better year in 2022, believe I can change with God's help. You can't change on your own. You're going to need God's help to do this. So stop saying I can't and start saying I can with Christ. The person who says I can't and the person who says I can, they're both right. Paul writes this in Philippians 4:13. I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. So my question to you, when you look at that verse on the screen, do you really believe that? That means there's nothing you're going to hit in the next 365 days in the new year. No problem, no situation, no circumstance, no hassle, nothing that you and Christ and God can't handle together. Nothing. But do you believe the verse? I mean, we give that away. We put it in posters. We give it to people all the time. You can do all things through Christ that gives you the strength. And then something little happens in your life and you melt like butter in a microwave. It doesn't matter how many times you give that verse away to people. It doesn't matter how many times you put it at the end of a text. It doesn't matter how many times you put it in email. Do you believe the verse? If you do, live it. Because your God is bigger than anything you're going to face, and he will help you get through it. He says, by the power of Christ gives me, circle that phrase. Now, we're not talking, bless you, we're not talking about supernatural power here in the sense of power, positive thinking. We're talking about spiritual power that comes from Jesus Christ. This is not anything you can psych yourself up to do, where you're kind of like, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. No, you can't. There's some things that no matter how much you try, no matter how much you do, you ain't going to be able to do them. And that's the problem I have with some of the things going on in education today. They say, they teach kids, you can be anything you want to be. You can do everything you can. Not necessarily. Every kid's different. Every kid's intellect's different. Every kid's experience is different. And there's a difference between pop psychology and Christian faith. There are a lot of good self-help books out there, and I've read some of them. They're good, and they tell you what to do, but their weakness is they don't give you the power to do it. So what you know what to do, but if you don't have the power to do it, what good is it? They're going, here's how to have to be successful, okay? But they don't give you the power to do it. Here's how to get rid of your bad habits, but they don't give you the power to do it. Here's how to be disciplined and self-control, but they don't give you the power to do it. They tell you what to do without giving you the power to do it. And my Bible tells me that you can do all things through how? Christ, who gives you what? Strength. Do you believe it? Do you really believe that? And the Bible's full of stories of people who had doubts about that, but God still used them. One of my favorites is Moses. God comes to Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt and set 2 million Hebrews free. And Moses goes, me? I don't think so. Have you seen the wanted posters for me? My picture's up there. I killed an Egyptian. I fled here. They want me dead. God says, I know that, but I'll take care of that. You go. Moses goes, well, and your English says in the Bible, he says, I don't speak elegant. My tongue's not good. If you look at that Hebrew word, devor, it literally means I don't know the language anymore. I've been out of Egypt 40 years. I don't know Egyptian anymore. I can't go down there and talk to somebody, especially the Pharaoh. I've forgotten all my Egyptian. How many of you took some foreign language in high school? All right. How many of you would say that language, whatever you took, French, German, whatever it was, Spanish, whatever it was, would say, I would love to get on a plane right now, fly to a country where that language is only spoken, no English, because I know I could speak it fluently. How many of you? That's what I thought. Now you understand Moses. He hadn't spoken Egyptian in 40 years. God says, one for Moses, but Moses, your brother still lives there and he speaks fluent Egyptian. He will be your mouthpiece. God had the bases covered. Another of my favorite guys is a guy named Gideon. God comes to Gideon and says, hey, I want you to lead an army to set Israel free. And Gideon goes, I'm the youngest kid in the poorest family in the smallest tribe in the nation. I'm a nobody. And God says, this ain't about you. You rely on my power, it'll happen. And it did. And with 300 just soldiers, he defeated thousands of Assyrian troops. Another one of my favorite stories in the Bible is a guy named Jeremiah. When God called Jeremiah, he was a young teenage boy. And God says, I want you to be my prophet, my preacher, my spokesman to this nation, because if they don't listen to you, I'm going to destroy the nation. And Jeremiah goes, me? God, I battled depression. He's called the weeping prophet because all he does is cry. He was a depressed teenager. And God says, you trust me. It's not about you. It's about me. And I will use you as my mouthpiece. And guess what? God did. In fact, we even got a book from the Bible called Jeremiah and Lamentations. So if you want to be used by God, there are two things you got to do. Here they are. You must accept responsibility for your own life. And two, you must believe that God can give you the power to change. Now, do you believe those two things? I know you would tell me yes, but do you believe those two things? It's one thing to say intellectually, I believe it. It's another the thing heart-wise, I believe this. If you want 2022 to be a better year, a different year, you got to believe those two things. So here's the next key. We've done A, we've done B, now let's come to C. If you want to maximize 2022, clarify what I really want. You got to decide what's important to you in 2022 and what isn't important. And God has given you an incredible gift. It's called the freedom to choose, but he's also given you another gift called time. You only have so much time. And the problem with us is that we want to do it all, have it all, be it all, and we can't. The Bible tells us in Genesis that God created us in his image. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. And what does that mean? We have the freedom to choose, okay? And with the freedom to choose, we get to decide how we spend our time. Now, one of the ways you're going to be different, you can be different. And the one way this is different, it's not so much about a choice between good and evil. It's not that. It's more about how to choose between good and better and better and best. One of the ways you're going to be different from animals is that he gave you the freedom to choose. Look at Job 34. Job says this. We can choose the sounds we want to listen to. We can choose the taste we want in food. We should choose to follow what is right. But first of all, we must define what is good. I want you to circle that. Define what is good. You got to decide what's important in 2022 for you. And it's amazing. Most people never do this. All the stats show that very few people ever write down any type of goals. Most of you probably may not write down any goals. So you got to decide, what are my values? What's important to me? And here's why. You can't do what's important until you clarify what's important. Otherwise, you're just going to be pushed around and dragged through 2022 by the pressures and the worries and the concerns of this life and not getting anything done. And all of a sudden, the year's going to be over, and you're going to look back and go, I didn't do anything. So how do you clarify what you want? Let me give you some steps here. First, clarify your values, because your values determine your vision. You got to determine your desires, because they determine your direction. You got to decide your roles. They decide your goals. So you got to really stop and ask, what is important to me? What really matters to me? Most people have never made up their mind what's really important, what really matters. So you've got to do this. I'll read it again. You got to decide your values because they determine your vision. You got to decide your desires because they determine your direction. You got to decide your roles because they determine your goals. And here's why. If you aim at nothing, you're going to hit it. And most people have this vague feeling, well, I just want to be happy. It ain't going to happen. Jesus said this in Matthew 16. For even if you were to gain all the wealth and power of this world and at the cost of your own life, what good would it be? What good would it be more valuable to you than your own soul? People never sit down, most people never sit down and decide what's ultimately important to them. So you say, I want to be happy. Well, what's going to make you happy? Where does God want you to be in 2022? Why do you think you're here? Why do you think you're existing? So this week, here's what I wanted to do. I want to encourage you this week. You got 7 days. Sit down. Take a block of time, 2 to 3 hours maybe, and just write down every single thing that's important to you, everything. And then what you're going to do is you're going to go through that list and start prioritizing, start scratching off things. Because you're going to narrow this down to 2 or 3 things that are ultimately important to you that you want to do in 2022. You can't do them all. You don't have the time, you don't have the resources, you don't have the energy. But you can do 2 or 3 things in 2022 that are ultimately important to you. And I think it's worth your time figuring out what those 2 or 3 things that God wants you to get done in 2022, it's worth your time. Here's the second way. You ask, what do I want to change? You got to believe you can change, and then you got to ask God, where does change need to come in your life? You got to pinpoint what's wrong in my life, what I want different in my life. Okay? And you may go, well, I don't like my health. What does that mean? You got to get specific. Look at James 4:2. The reason you don't have what you want is that you don't even ask God for it. Remember, this is not from self-help pop psychology. You're going to scripture, you're going to trust God, because he says you can do all things through him who gives you that strength. And then once you've got your 2 or 3 things listed that you've now scratched out, you get this on, but now 2 or 3 things, post it in your mirror in your bathroom, put it in your car, Put it in on your phone as a reminder to pop every day. This is what the two or three things I'm going to be working on in 2022. Make it a priority of prayer in your life. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 6:12. Just because something is technically legal doesn't mean that it's spiritually appropriate. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:23. He writes, we are allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for us. We're allowed to do anything, but not all things will help us grow as Christians. As I said earlier, in your life, most of the things that you're going to have to make choices are not between good and evil. It's not like, well, am I going to have a quiet time or murder my mother-in-law? It ain't that kind of a question, all right? It's really the question between what is good and better and what's better and best. I love how the Amplified Bible puts this same passage. Look at this. Everything is permissible, but not everything is what? Beneficial. Some things are not necessarily wrong. They're just not necessary. Okay? You don't have time for everything. You can't do everything. So you better figure out what are the two or three things you must get done in 2022. What is it that God wants you to accomplish in the next 365 days? You got to figure it out. And how do you do this? You ask yourself this last question. What's going to last? A lot of things you're going to do won't last because they're urgent. They're not important. And there's a big difference between the urgent and the important. So you ask yourself, of what's on my list here, you narrowed it down to two or three things. Will they last? Will they outlast you? You know, as a pastor, I've done hundreds and hundreds of funerals. I've been at the bedside of people dying. I've held their hand as they took their last breath. And to this day, I have never had anyone in a hospital room say to me on their deathbed, if I could go back and do my life over, I wish I could spend more time at the office. Or I wish I had hunted more. I wish I'd fished more. I wish I'd spent more money. I've never had anyone. Here's what I hear people on their deathbed saying. I wish I'd spent more time with my family. I wish I'd spent more time building my marriage. I wish I'd spent more time investing in my children and my grandchildren. I wish I'd spent more time growing my character to become more like the character of Christ. I've had people say this to me. I'm embarrassed to die and walk into the presence of God because I'm not the man of God I could have been had I gotten serious about my relationship with God. What about you? You got to clarify what's important. Two or three things only that you're going to work on in 2022. Here's the last key. It's the D. Don't wait to begin. Do it now. Do it now are three words that will radically change your life. There will never be an ideal situation or ideal circumstance to start on anything. Don't wait. I love what Ecclesiastes 11:4 says. If you wait for perfect conditions, you will never what? Get anything done. There's never a time, better time to start than now. Probably the phrase I hear most often in New Hanover County is this. When things settle down, read my lips, they will never settle down. Except at 3 a.m., 3:30 a.m. or 2:30 a.m. on Christmas Eve. Audrey realized she was she didn't have enough whipped cream to make this thing she wanted to make. Now, this is at 2:30 on Christmas Eve, really Christmas morning. So Emmy and I, we drive to the 24-hour Walgreens at 2:30 in the morning. Do you know what? It had settled down. There was no one on the streets. Emmy and I were just like, she's filming this. She's like, Dad, this is awesome. I said, yes, like the rapture occurred, didn't it? Nobody's here. I mean, it was awesome. But that's about it. In this town, things settle down. The rest of the year, they're busting. Things are moving. Nothing's going to settle down. I hear people say, well, when things settle down, I'll start reading my Bible, I'll start praying. They're not going to settle down. When things settle down, I'll start spending more time with my children or my grandchildren. They're not going to settle down. They're not going to settle down, and they're going to be grown and gone. You need to decide, and you need to do it, and you need to do it starting now. Don't wait for things to settle down because they never will. Life must be enjoyed under imperfect conditions. And whatever you're going to do, you need to do it now. because things are not going to settle down. About the only time they're going to settle down is when they settle you down in your coffin in the grave. You'll really have things settle down for you. See, one root, if not the primary root of procrastination, is perfectionism. Perfectionism produces paralysis. How many of you are perfectionists? All right, we need to form a small group because we can never feel like we get it right. And one of the killers of getting things done is perfectionism because it produces paralysis. I call it the paralysis of analysis. You overthink it, you overthink it, you overthink it, you overthink it, and because of that, you analyze it so much, it paralyzes you, and you don't do anything. You say, I can't get anything done because I'm waiting for that perfect moment to start. I want to start, I'm going to start, but I can't figure out the best way to start. If you don't do it now, you're probably not going to do it at all. And we not only procrastinate on our goals, we procrastinate on setting them. Studies show this, get this, only 3% of Americans have written down goals for their lives, and surveys also show that the 3% that do are in the top 3% of wage earners in our culture. Did you read that? Those who have set written goals, you go talk to the wealthiest billionaires in this country, they have written down goals and they stick to them, and that's why they have become so wealthy. I know some of you are, I hope you're getting motivated. I really hope you are from this sermon, that you're going to say, hey, this year, I want 2022 to be different. I'm not going to try to do everything. I'm going to do like Pastor Kelly said. I'm going to write out my whole list of things that are important. Then I'm going to start scratching all things. What are the last two or three things I want to get done in 2022? If nothing else gets done, these are the two or three things I want to get done. I want to use my time wisely. I want to use my energy wisely. Use my talents wisely, because I can't do it all, have it all, be it all. I don't want to come to the end of 2022 and go, I didn't get anything done. You got to plan it. You know, when I think about how people live their lives today, most people don't. Best intentions fade away quickly. And you're going to get distracted. It's easy to get distracted by a ball game or a phone call or a text. And before you know it, it's going to be the middle of February and you haven't started anything. So if you want to set some goals, I've put together a little acrostic called SMART goals. Here's how you set these goals. You want them to be SMART goals of these two or three things you want to do. Here's the first thing. It's got to be specific. In other words, nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. And whatever these two or three goals are, they got to be more than just, I want this. You go, well, I want to lose weight. That's not specific. How much weight? Get specific with your goal, okay? So you write, I want to lose 15 pounds. That way, you know, there's a number there. So you got to get specific. If it's not, you can't measure it, okay? And here's another thing. Set only goals for yourself. Don't try to set goals for your spouse. You want an argument? You want a fight? Do that one. Honey, you're a little plump. Why don't we join the gym? Why don't we start walking? You know what? You're going to be laying on your back. You can't set goals for other people. You can only set them for yourself. Okay? Here's what the M stands for. Motivational. It's got to be something that moves you to do it. If it doesn't motivate you, you're not going to do it. If it doesn't motivate you, you're not going to try. So it's got to be specific, and it's got to be something that, man, this fired you up. This is something you want to do. And C, it's got to be attainable. It's got to be something you can reach. You don't write out a goal and says, my goal for 2022 is I'm going to pray 3 hours a day to God. He ain't going to do it. I commend you for trying, but you're not going to do it. Maybe it should be, I'm going to spend at least 10 minutes in prayer every day with God. Make it attainable. Here's what the R stands for, relevant. Relevant means they're based on your values. They're based on what is important to you. You don't set a goal because somebody else thinks it's important to you. You set it because it's important to you. If it's not important to you, it's not relevant to you, and you're not going to do it. And here's what the T stands for, trackable. That means you can measure your progress. How do you know you've reached the goal? And then if you're a Christian, your ultimate goal is to become like Jesus Christ, how do you know you have? I mean, I have people say all the time, I want to be more like Christ. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, let me give you a way you can do this. In Luke 2:52, it says this about Jesus. Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and people. I want you to circle those four words there. Wisdom, stature, God, and people. That's how he grew. He grew in four ways. Those were his four goals, primary goals, to grow like that. So I first want to be like Christ. That must be, I've got to develop in those four ways. There has to be intellectual development. It says he grew in wisdom. It says he grew physically, meaning he grew in stature. It says he grew in favor of the God. That's spiritual development. It says he grew in favor with man or with people. That's social development. So let's take our principle of SMART goals that I've just given you, that'll cross. How do you apply it to these four ways to do this? Let me walk you through this. Here's some suggestions. It's just my suggestion to you based on Luke 2:52. First, for your intellectual goals, ask yourself, what do you want to learn next year? What do you want to learn? You remember that commercial that used to come on, a mind is a terrible thing to waste? Well, it is. God gave your mind. It's a gift. It's like a muscle. If you don't use it, you lose it. If you don't use these muscles, they become atrophied. If you don't use your brain, it becomes atrophied. Here's what my point is. All leaders are learners. And if you're in leadership in this church and you're not reading something, you're not growing something, you're not taking seminars, you are not helping this church, you are hurting this church. Because all leaders are learners. You should always be reading something, pushing yourself, driving yourself. Always. Proverbs 19:8 says, do yourself a favor and love wisdom. Learn all you can, then watch your life flourish and prosper. So you ask, what do I need to learn this week? So you got your two or three goals. What do I need to now go learn about how to do that? Maybe you need to set a book reading thing. You read so many books in your goal. Maybe it's an educational goal. You know, maybe I need to take some classes at Cape Fear or go to UNCW, or maybe I need to do some online classes, or maybe I need to take a seminar. What do you need to do to learn this year to accomplish those goals? Maybe it's, maybe I need to learn a language. You know, we go to Moldova almost every year. Maybe you go, you know, I'm tired of speaking English. I want to speak Moldovan. Well, start taking classes. Maybe it's, you know, as an older adult, you go, you know, I have to really rely on my grandkids to help me with digital technology. Start taking some classes. Have some of the kids in our church come over and sit down with you. They'll walk you through it. When I don't know how to do something, I just ask, Gimme, how do I do this? They know. Learn. Push yourself. Drive yourself. Because if you don't exercise this, I mean, I remember I had someone tell me one time, I haven't read a book in 25 years. And I thought, I can tell. It shows. So you need to push yourself. God's giving you this brain, and he doesn't want you to waste it. Because it's a good stewardship of yourself to keep learning, keep pushing yourself to learn, learning more. And here's what we are learning about dementia and Alzheimer's. The more you push yourself to learn, the more you are less likely to get dementia and Alzheimer's. Most senior adults sit around, they watch TV, they may read a little magazine, but they're not learning, they're not pushing. Push yourself. When it comes to the physical, it says he grew in stature. Next is your physical goals. You need to ask yourself, what will improve my health next year? Is it to lose some weight? Is it go to bed earlier? Is it get on an exercise program? Is it to develop better eating habits? Develop some kind of stress relief program? Start walking every day? What will improve your health? Now remember, it's got to be specific. How will it improve your health? Well, I want to improve my health. How? I'm going to walk a mile every day. Or I'm going to walk. That's specific. You can measure that. Okay? In Proverbs 17:22, it says this. A joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. But the one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. I mean, for some of you, God's advice to you would be just lighten up. Don't sweat the small stuff. Remember, all stuff's small in God's sight anyway. I love how the Good News Translation puts it. It says this, be cheerful. Being cheerful keeps you healthy. It is a slow death to be gloomy all the time. You don't need people to walk around like Muttley. The Bible says a cheerful heart, a joyful heart keeps you around a whole lot longer. Okay? It says that Jesus grew in stature. He grew in wisdom. He also grew how? With God. Favor with God. When it comes to your spiritual goals, Ask these questions. What will deepen my relationship to God? What one thing would make the biggest difference in my relationship to God in 2022? You set this goal. I want to get closer to God. All right. It's got to get smart. It's got to be specific. How are you going to do that? It's got to be motivational. It's got to be attainable. It's got to be relevant. It's got to be trackable. So what one thing could you do beginning 2022 that would improve your relationship to God? What is it? Maybe if you've given your life to Christ, but you've never been baptized, maybe that's it. I mean, it'd be a wonderful way to start off the new year saying, hey, I want to let the whole world know I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're attending our church, but you've never joined. Maybe that's a good way to start off the new year. Hey, I want to be part of this church. I'm going to be a member of this church, and I'll take class 101. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in spiritual strength and become better acquainted with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by deepening your relationship to him. Maybe for you, it's to take class 201, where I teach you how to mature in your faith. Most people don't know how to read the Bible. They don't know how to pray. They don't know how to do any of these things. Class 201, I teach you how to do all of those things. Then you go and take class 301. That's where I teach you about your shape, your spiritual gifts, your heart, what you have a passion for, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. All of these God has used to shape you to be the person you are so that you can fulfill your purpose that he's given to you. And then once you learn that, you can take class 401. How do you make a difference by sharing your faith in the world? Okay? And once you have taken our membership and our maturity class, our ministry class, our mission class, then you're able to magnify God with your life. Maybe for you, it's, hey, I've done those. Maybe you're not in any Bible study group here. You join a small group, Sunday school class or a small group, or you come to my Wednesday night Bible study class. Or maybe for you, maybe you've never been a tither. So you say in 2022, the thing that's going to help me grow closer, I'm going to start tithing. Or maybe for you, it's like, you know, I don't really have a daily quiet time. Maybe it is, I'll get up 10 minutes earlier every morning and I'll just read some devotional. I'll spend some time with God. What is it will help you deepen your relationship with God in 2022? All right, it says he grew in wisdom and stature, favor with God, and the last, he grew in favor with men. That's your social goals. Ask, what will be my ministry to others? What's going to be your ministry in 2022 to other people? God doesn't want you to just think about yourself. If all you do is think about yourself, you're selfish. God doesn't bless selfishness. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says this, God's given you some special abilities and spiritual gifts. Be sure to use them. What? All on yourself, making $1 million? No, be sure to use them to what? To help and minister to each other. That's why God gave you those gifts. And anytime you help someone else, anytime, that's called ministry, that's called service. You serve God by serving other people. And next year, you've got a great opportunity to start doing that in this church. Maybe you've been sitting on the sidelines. You're not involved anywhere except for coming on Sunday morning. One of the best ways you could grow deeper in your relationship with God is say, hey, I'm going to get into a ministry in 2022 to serve God and serve other people. I want to use my gifts, my talents, my abilities for the glory of God in 2022. I'm no longer going to just come sit, soak, and saturate. I'm going to go out, sit, soak, saturate, and serve. He wants you to have a ministry. Maybe it is to write down the name of a person you know that you work with or in your neighborhood that didn't know Jesus Christ. We've told you about our neighbor he believes in reincarnation. You know, he says God keeps sending you back till you get it right. I've always wanted to ask him, well, how many times is this for you? You know, how many times you've been through this? You know, he did something he's never done this year. He sent us a text wishing us Merry Christmas. And we responded. You see, we are praying that this man comes to know Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, when he does, you're going to know it. Who are you praying to come to know Jesus Christ? Let 2022 be a different year for you. Be concerned about some other people other than just yourself. I know what you're thinking. Pastor Kelly, I've tried this. I've written down. I've established New Year goals and resolutions. And I get going for the first couple weeks, and then I stop and I fail. I can't stick with it. And then I end up, the things I don't want to do, I end up doing, and the things I know I should do, I don't do. I just stop. Well, you sound like the Apostle Paul. Look at this in Romans 7. He says this, the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, and I obviously need help. I realize I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone deeply wrong within me and gets the better of me every time. I don't have the power to change. And he's exactly right. You can't change on your own, but with Christ, you can do what? All things. Do you believe it? Paul writes in Ephesians 6:10 this. Your strength must come from the Lord's mighty power within you. That's the only way you're going to be able to do this. And that's the difference between self-help books and pop psychology. They tell you what to do, but they don't give you the power to do it. You can't do it on your own. Here's what I've realized. Readied purposes without real power rapidly perishes over time. You can have the best purposes laid out, but if you don't have the real power to do them that comes from Jesus Christ, they'll perish over time. Your goals won't last 2 weeks. Because you don't have the Lord's mighty power working within you. God wants you to have a better year in 2022. And I know there are times that things interfere. They do. But they don't have to impair or perish your goals. Isn't it true that we often do things we don't want to do and we don't do the things we know we should? And that's called our sin nature. That's what Paul was talking about there in Romans 7. But then he writes this in Romans 6:10. When Christ died, he died to defeat the power of sin. Now see yourselves as being dead to the power of sin and alive to God. Even most Christians don't understand what he's saying about that at all. You have a power within you that you have not tapped. Let me ask you this. How many of you believe that God is the most powerful being in the universe? Where does God live? In you. You have the most powerful being living in you. So why don't you live it? Show it. Experience it. You can't do it on your own. But with Christ and his power, you can do all things for God. In fact, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for three reasons. One, he died to pay for the penalty for our sins in the past. We've all blown it. We all got things we're ashamed of and embarrassed about that we did that we are reminded of it, we just feel bad about it. Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified. There's past. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Second thing Jesus died on the cross to do, Jesus died, he paid to break the power of sin in the present. Okay? That means he gives you the energy, the ability to live life in the present. 1 Peter says this, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live, present tense, live for what is right. And he also, Jesus paid so that one day I'll be released from the presence of sin permanently. There's going to come a day that when we die, we stand before God in heaven and we no longer have the power of sin in our life. John writes this in Revelation 22, in heaven there will be no sin or sickness or sorrow or sadness. These curses were destroyed. The only thing around the throne of God will be God's sinless servants worshiping him. Praise God. Praise God. I'll be free. You'll be free from the penalty and the power of sin in my life. But while we're here, God gives us the power in today, in your life today, to get through this life and do things. Proverbs 17:24. We read this earlier, said this, an intelligent person aims at wise actions, but a fool starts off in many directions. God wants you to make the most of 2022, and you can't do it by having a list of a bunch of things. I've encouraged you this morning, make a list and scratch out. Get it down to two or three things. If you get nothing else done in 2022, you want by the end of December 31st, 2022, to look at the list and go, I got it done. I did it for the glory of God. I mean, what if Christopher Columbus had decided to be content to build sandcastles along the shores of Spain? He'd have never discovered the Americas. And sandwiched between January 1st and December 31st are some 365 exciting days for you to live next year. Changes will come. Challenges will come. Crises will come. But you can still, with the power of Christ, get through them and do these things. Here's what I've noticed. Even the familiar beaches change. Have you noticed in our county how much money is spent on replacing beaches from hurricanes? We spend billions of dollars. Next hurricane comes through, there it's gone again. They come back and they bring in sand. Change is inevitable. Okay? And if you're not careful, you'll be so preoccupied with complaining about the changes, you'll miss a golden opportunity to do something great for Christ. Now, I'm not asking you to go nuts on some things like Larry Walters did. You probably don't know this man, but Larry Walters was a 33-year-old truck driver who had been sitting around doing zilch week in and week out until boredom got the best of him. That was back in the summer of 1982. He decided enough was enough. He said, I need some adventure in my life. So on July 2nd, 1982, he rigged 42 helium-filled weather balloons to a Sears lawn chair in San Pedro, California, and lifted off. Armed with a pellet gun to shoot out a few balloons should he fly too high, Walters was shocked to reach 16,000 feet in a matter of minutes. Even more shocked were pilots and planes contacting air traffic control. You won't believe this. There's some guy floating through on a Sears lawn chair up here with us. He had enough sense to start shooting out some of the balloons, and he eventually landed in Long Beach, California. About 45 minutes later, the stunt got him a Timex and an appearance on The Tonight Show. And when asked, what was he going to do now? He said, I'm going to be a motivational speaker. Asked why he did it, he says, people ask me if I had a death wish. He says, I tell them no. He said, I just couldn't no longer sit there and do something. I just had to get out and do it. I kept saying, I want to change, I want to change, I want a better life, I want to do this. And I realized sitting, that's all you're doing is sitting. He said, I realized I was stalled out. I wanted to soar. Do you want to soar in 2022 for God? Do you? There's a difference between doing nothing and trying something ridiculous. It is. But sitting is not enough for us in this new year. So don't just sit there. Change is inevitable. And sometimes we don't like it when it comes. I love what Mark Twain said. The only one who likes change is a wet baby. And that's true. You can either jump into 2022 and attempt something remarkable for God, or you can sit back in 22 and live with regrets at the end of the year that you did nothing for God. What's your biggest regret in life? If it's anything like these random New Yorkers, it has one very important word in it. This past year, students from Strayer University went up to a chalkboard on a sidewalk near Lieutenant Pastrano Square in New York City for one day. At the top of the board was written, write your biggest regret. They provided the supply of colored chalk and set up a video camera to record people writing on the board. The chalkboard attracted many people walking by and was soon filled to overflowing. Thousands began to wait in line to write their regrets on this. Here's what some of the people wrote. I regret that I burned relational bridges. I regret I never spoke up. I regret that I'm not a good husband. I regret that I haven't spent as much time with my family as I should. I regret saying, I love you. I regret not making the most of every day. I regret not being a better friend. The billboard filled up. It filled up where people were now writing over other people's regrets. And nearly all of them had one word in common, the word not. I regret that I did not do this. I regret that I did not do this. What's your regret for 2021? Here were kids, students whose dreams never pursued, never did. Let me ask you this. What are your regrets from 2021? If you go back a year ago, let's say God say, snap his finger, you go back to January 1, 2021. Is there anything you do differently? Any regret, you go back and say, I changed that one. What about in these four areas I mentioned, your physical, your spiritual, your social, and your intellectual? See, the challenge we all face in accomplishing these goals is a term from physics called entropy. Entropy is a concept, a law that's attached to the second law of thermodynamics. Entropy is the physics principle that energy eventually runs out. In fact, scientists are saying eventually our sun will run out of fuel and it will die. There's no such thing as eternal energy. Energy eventually dies. You only have so much time. You only have so much energy. You can't do it all, have it all, be it all. So where are you going to put your energy in 2022? Okay? And the problem is, you may have come to the end of 2021 and realized you wasted your energy on so many things that were mediocre that you didn't get done what was important. We settle for less than best. Our dreams die. Our hopes die. And God has warned us against entropy. Look what he says in Proverbs 27. Be sure you know how your sheep are doing and pay attention to the condition of your cattle. Riches will not go on forever, nor do governments go on forever. Now you're going, that's strange. It's about sheep and cattle. Yes, it is. But the point is, nothing lasts forever. That's why you have to be intentional about where you're putting your energy and your time. There's a big difference between urgent and a big difference in the word important. And you need to, in 2022, those two or three things you want to get done, they need to be the most two or three important things in your life, not the urgent things. Years ago, an author named Charles Hummel wrote a little book called The Tyranny of the Urgent. It's a great little book. And here's just one line he has from the book. Don't let the urgent take the place of the important in your life. And then he went on in another paragraph to explain it this way. Oh, the urgent will really fight, claw, and scream for our attention. It will plead for our time and even make us think we've done the right thing by calming its nerves. But the tragedy of all of this is this. While we were putting out the fires of the urgent, the important was again left in a holding pattern. The important is neither noisy nor demanding. Unlike the urgent, it patiently and quietly waits for us to realize its significance. There's something tyrannical about the deadlines of demands and the shouts of the urgent. They have a way of eclipsing the important. You're going to face this very same challenge in 2022. You're going to have urgent things coming up, but you've got these two or three important things. Which one's going to win out? Paul writes this in Ephesians 5:16. So be very careful how you live because you have so much time and energy here. Do not be like those with no understanding. Live honorably with true wisdom. For we're living in the evil times. Take full advantage of every day as you spend your life fulfilling God's purposes and goals for your life. The poet Henry David Thoreau wrote this in Walden in 1854. In the long run, men hit only what they aim at. Therefore, they had better aim at something high. I would say something important. As I conclude, I want to die the way Wilson Bentley died. You don't know this man's name. I didn't know him either until I was researching for this sermon. Wilson grew up on a farm in Jericho, Vermont, and as a young boy, he developed a fascination with snowflakes. Obsession might be a better word for it. Most people go indoors during snowstorms, not Wilson. He would run outside when the flakes were starting to fall, catch them on black velvet, look at them under a microscope, and then take photographs of them before they melted. His photo micrograph of a snowflake was taken on January 15th, 1885. He wrote this. Under the microscope, I found that snowflakes were miracles of beauty by God. And it seemed a shame that this beauty should not be seen and appreciated by others. Every crystal was a masterpiece of design by God. And no one design was ever repeated. When a snowflake melted, that design was lost forever. Just that much beauty was gone and without leaving any record behind. The first known photographer of snowflakes was him. Wilson pursued his passion for over 50 years photographing snowflakes. He amassed a collection of 5,381 photographs that were published in his book entitled Snow Crystals. And then he died a fitting death, a death that symbolized and epitomized his life. He was called Wilson Snowflake Bentley, because he would go anywhere there was snow. He walked 6 miles through a severe snowstorm in 1931 to take pictures of snowflakes, but he got pneumonia and he died. Now, I don't want to die from pneumonia, but I do want to die like he did. I want to die being passionately pursuing the two or three things God wants me to pursue. What about you? Life is too precious to settle for the urgent. We as a church, we as individuals need to be focusing on what's important. And God's given you 12 months, starting in a few days, to focus on two or three things you could make a difference in your life and the lives of others. You can't do it all, have it all, be it all. So narrow it down. Two or three things so that when you come to December 31st, 2022, you can say, praise God, I got these done for the good of God. Why? Because you got an opportunity to have a new year for a new you. Let's pray.